Hello, everybody. This is Courtney Stanley, and welcome to another exciting episode of Dare to Interrupt, a listening experience where you have the opportunity to sit in on honest, unfiltered conversations with people who are considered to be the most influential, inspiring, and innovative leaders in the world of events, hospitality, business, and beyond. Throughout their careers, these leaders have dared to interrupt conversations, their own comfort zones, and sometimes even societal norms to hustle toward their greatest levels of success. I am super excited to introduce you to today's guest. He is the first guest of our third season of Dare to Interrupt and the first episode of 2022. Today, we are joined by Michael Massari, Chief Sales Officer at Caesars Entertainment. It's great to have you here today, Mike, for our first episode of the year. How have things been in Las Vegas?
Well, Courtney, before I answer that, I just want to say thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be talking to you. And, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and I'm always so impressed by all that you're doing and accomplishing and the way that you bring these conversations to your audience. So thanks for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah, it's definitely been a pleasure getting to know you better over the past few years. And I'm excited to have you on today. You always have such great leadership lessons, and I know it'll be really valuable to our audience.
Well, I'll do my best. That's a tall order, but I will do my best. So, I don't want to be cliche about Las Vegas, but I mean, Las Vegas is fully back at this point. I mean, if you spend any time here in the fall, you know, you'd see that Las Vegas, aside from the masks, feels just as vibrant, just as exciting as it did pre-pandemic. We were waiting for meetings and events and entertainment to make a return, and that happened in June or July, and both came back with just an incredible vengeance. We had a fantastic fall and lots of activity, and so with that fully rounded out customer base, Las Vegas feels much like it did in February of 2020, but everybody's wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's incredible. And I know I was telling you before we hopped on here that I feel like I've been to Las Vegas more than I ever have. I think there are so many different events and conferences that are happening there right now. And I'm sure my calendar in 2022 right now looks like I'll be in Vegas quite a few more times. And you also have Adele there now.
We do. We have Adele coming starting in January. We're quite excited about that at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace. And, you know, I think one of the things that's really interesting as you think about this whole transition from the pandemic and closed to open casinos plus meetings and events and entertainment is one of the things I think we learned was that people just really want and need to be together face to face. It's the way that they communicate best. It's the way they experience things the best. And, you know, they have it's in our DNA to want that and to need that. And so it just took some time for us to figure out how to do it well and do it safely and make sure that we can have great environments for people and meet that need and do it in a way that allows them to be safe and to go home safely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Mike. And actually, I was reading an article this morning that was talking about travel trends for the year and how people are prioritizing travel for mental wellness and just generally their, you know, well-being and their happiness. And I think that's something that we really saw a lot over the past year as people came back together and reunited, is that it is so healthy to be able to actually interact face to face. And of course, it's healthy from a business perspective, but it's also healthy just to be able to have that interaction.
No question. And you know, of all the things that we worry about when we go to sleep at night, I think this notion that face to face is going to someday be replaced by some level of technology, I think ought not be one of them. It's like I said, it's in our DNA. It goes back many, many thousands of years, and it is the best way for us to be healthy and to communicate and to grow and to learn. And so, you know, people will seek these types of experiences out as we go forward. And so technology is super important. It expands the tent. It allows us to communicate in ways we never could before. But the gold standard is always going to be face-to-face interactions.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I completely agree. Just gets back to being human and connecting on a personal level.
No question.
So, Mike, I mean, I would love to learn more about your career journey in the industry or maybe outside the industry, depending on where you came from and where you started. Can you just walk us through a bit of your professional history?
Yeah, so I got a job when I was a early teenager at a catering hall outside of Philadelphia, and that was 1985. I was 15, and honestly, I've never done anything but catered events since then. I worked at that catering hall through high school and college, and when I graduated, got a job as a manager there, and then decided I wanted to jump into the lodging business. Believe it or not, for your audience, they'll laugh at this, those in the lodging business. I left the catering business and got into the hotel business because I wanted to work more stable and less hours. Because the only thing worse than working in the lodging business for your hours is working in the catering business. And you know, worked at a few hotels, ended up getting an opportunity to come out to Las Vegas in 1998. And that's really changed my career. It was a great time to come out to Las Vegas. It was an opportunity to really expand my horizons and learn. And I was able to open the Venetian and grow, then move over to Caesars Entertainment. And, you know, I've been with Caesars Entertainment now for over 20 years. It's been a fantastic ride. I've got my MBA during that time period, and you know, had some great people and some great customers and a lot of fun. So that's the whole thing in a nutshell.
Yeah, that was pretty concise. I'm pretty impressed that you were able to wrap that up and put a little bow on it so well. So, I mean, what's been one of the greatest challenges that you've faced in your career?
Yeah, look, I think this pandemic certainly ranks up there, right? I mean, you know, it seems like almost every 10 years we have something we have to deal with, but this was something that there was just no way to prepare for. And so, you know, thinking strategically about how to manage the business through this, you know, really ramping up our government relations activities to make sure that we could get open as quickly as possible. You know, leaning on our industry teams like Meetings Mean Business and U.S. Travel and MPI, et cetera. You know, I think were all things that kind of came to the forefront there. But I don't think anything could ever have been as challenging as this pandemic for us.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that challenge has created maybe some of the more meaningful or those maybe more moments where you feel most proud of those accomplishments? Because you guys have come a long way. You know, we were talking about how well some of those big establishments and organizations in Las Vegas really did at the end of 2021. And I assume that you're celebrating those moments, but take us through the challenge that you navigated and how your team is feeling now that we're on the other side of this.
Well, in effect, we had to shut down the business, right? I mean, we were closed for 15 months. And so we had to decide strategically what we wanted to do from a sales standpoint so that when the time came, we recovered as quickly as possible. So from a strategic standpoint, we cut the operations almost to zero because we had no customers. And we still invested heavily in the sales force. And I think my contemporaries here in Las Vegas did the same. And so what I think we're seeing is this robust recovery that we saw in the fall and this great calendar that I think we all have in 2022 is the fruit of that investment in the sales side, you know, during the shutdown. And so we're lucky to be coming out of this very quickly. I think it has to do partly with the strategic decisions that we made. And so, yeah, we're really proud of that. The other thing I think we're really proud of is just the way that the operations team has been able to stand up these businesses. You know, I mean, we literally went from zero to 60 almost overnight. We were closed in essence in June, and then by August we were almost at full capacity.
Wow.
So you had to restaff these entire businesses. And in our case, just the Caesars Entertainment, that's 2,500 dedicated people that, you know, that cook the food and that serve the food and that wash the dishes and that set the rooms and, you know, hang the audiovisual screens, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, finding those folks, getting them back together, getting them retrained, getting all the kinks worked out and getting that done that quickly was a real Herculean task. And I'm just so proud of our operations teams for all that they were able to accomplish during that. I think the three things I would say for the pandemic, the sales force continued to write contracts through the whole thing. In fact, we wrote more contracts in the 12 months of the pandemic than we did in any other 12-month period in the history of our company. The ops team stood these businesses up so fast and so effectively. And then everybody that was still part of the business during the pandemic never gave up. They kept positive and they kept working hard. I think those would be the three things that we're most proud of.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's incredibly impressive from an operational standpoint with the labor shortage. It's still ongoing. I feel like that's probably one of the most critical and talked about topics currently in the industry is finding talent to serve these roles that were emptied throughout the pandemic. So that's incredible to hear that you were able to pick things up and move forward at the pace that you did.
it's still a massive problem. I mean, you know, and it ought to be really, Courtney, because we shut the business down for well over a year. I mean, folks found other things that excited them, right? And so then we have to go and then break those other things. If this was only for a month or 6 weeks or 2 months, it would have been different. But folks found other things to pay attention to. And then we have to then recruit them back into our industry. So that's going to continue to take some time, and still does. Mm-hmm. We're still struggling to find the right people in the right roles, and we'll continue to work on that. But, you know, I think we should have expected that after 15 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's definitely a fair statement. So you and I mean, we had the opportunity to serve on MPI's International Board of Directors together, and I was always so inspired by your leadership style for a variety of reasons. I felt like your voice was very important in those conversations, and I felt like the things that you said really added a lot of value. If you were to describe what you believe are the most critical traits of an impactful leader, what would you say?
Well, you know, those are always hard questions, I think, because there's so many. I think caring about others and really, you know, thinking about how your actions and your decisions impact others and keeping that at the forefront, I think that's a big priority. It's something that I try to do that you know, I think has impacted how I lead and the decisions that I make. But I think your compassion and your caring for others and your understanding how the decisions that you make impact them should be at the forefront all the time. You know, I think understanding that this is our craft, that this is our job function, and that we ought to think about how to get better at it every day, you know, because you want to be the best in the world at your craft. I think that's another important part. You know, and I think when you roll those two things together, and this is going to sound so simplistic, Courtney, but as a leader, I think if your team looks at you and thinks, boy, you know, we're a little bit better with Mike around than with him not around. You know, he adds some value. He helps us get to the right outcome. He knows the business. He knows what he's doing. And then they secondarily say, or, you know, part and parcel say, you know, Mike really cares about us, and he puts our needs at the forefront of his thought process. So if they're saying we're a little better with you around and he's putting our needs at the forefront, I think you're 80% of the way there. You know, and I don't want that to be overly simplistic, but I've always found that to be true, and I still do today.
What do you look for when you're interviewing people? What are the things that maybe set certain leaders or certain employees apart that are most meaningful or important to you?
We look for characteristics more than anything. I look for characteristics more than anything. I'm looking for good people. I'm looking for self-starters. I'm looking for inquisitive, interested people. I'm looking for confident people. You know, and I think if you're interested, if you're inquisitive, if you're self-confident, you're a self-starter, you're hardworking, you know, we're not building rockets or saving people's lives in this industry, right? We're trying to help them execute great meetings. And so, you know, I think if you have the right characteristics, this is a great industry for people, because with a little bit of moxie, a little bit of hard work, and a little bit of intellect, you can really go far. And so we look for people that fit that description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, with so many positions that are open right now, a lot of organizations are saying that they're getting applicants from outside of the industry, hospitality and events. And I think that's actually a really great opportunity for us to look for the best talent and the people with the right character traits that are important to the organization and pull from different industries. Yeah, I think that diversity is a strength. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
No, look, diversity, no matter how you describe it, is always a positive thing, right? I mean, you want different points of view that challenge the status quo, and you want to have, you know, a really robust dialogue. I mean, you asked about leadership. The other thing that I would probably toss out there is you have to welcome disagreement. You have to welcome a really robust dialogue. You have to be willing to make a decision at some point. But before you get there, it should feel like a Thanksgiving dinner in an Italian family where everybody's talking and, you know, going over each other and really having a aggressive, robust dialogue so that you can get to a good outcome.
You just made me want pasta. Like picturing this big Italian Thanksgiving dinner now. Yeah, I mean, I agree. How do you, so one of the challenges that a lot of people struggle with is in those conversations, really finding those moments to use their voice. Is there anything that you do as a leader or even just as a fellow participant in those conversations to help facilitate, you know, those opportunities for people to speak up, or how do you help with that?
So I think there's a couple of things. I think you have to really encourage it. You have to have an environment where it's appreciated and welcome and safe. But then I think also as a leader, you need to really facilitate it. And sometimes that means, you know, asking people specifically what they think. Because, you know, you always have in a larger group of people, you have some that are willing to share their opinion more than others, and others are less willing to share their opinion. And you want feedback from everybody, and everybody's feedback is what you're looking for. And so I think you need to really be balanced about it. You need to make sure that you're getting feedback from everybody. You need to encourage people. And sometimes you need to call on them. Because if you don't have everybody's opinion, you're not going to get to the best outcome. That's just the end of the story.
I'm thinking back to the board meetings that we sat in on together, and I mean, from my perspective, you always seem like a very confident person and really didn't struggle with speaking up. Is that something that has always just come naturally for you? Or do you feel like you've worked to get to that place where using your voice and sharing your thoughts, ideas, opinions, debates, whatever they may be, where that has just become, it's just easy for you now?
Well, look, I think I'm very comfortable being part of a conversation. I'm not necessarily as comfortable being the focal point of a conversation. So I like when things are conversational, like what we're doing here and what you do in board meetings. I like a little less, you know, being the presenter and having this point of view. Like when you go up on stage and do a keynote, I really would struggle with that. But being part of a conversation like this, I'm very comfortable with. And the reality is that Paul had asked you and I to come to that meeting to share our opinion. And so if we don't share our opinion, I think we're doing him a disservice, and we're taking up a seat for somebody that could share opinion, because he needs the diverse opinion just as much as anybody, right? And so, you know, I don't want to have to make him call on me. I want to volunteer my opinion. And then you saw many times Paul agree with me, and you saw many times Paul go in the opposite direction of what I suggested. And I'm perfectly comfortable either way. Mm-hmm. You know, my job is to share my opinion, not to run the organization, right?
Yep, that's true.
And I think that the when we go back to this robust conversation that kind of gets you to the best outcome, I think whenever you're part of a team, you have to remember that they're not always, you know, the team's not always going to do things your way. Your job is to share your opinion, and then once the leader of the team makes a decision, your job is to follow that with enthusiasm and vigor. Mm-hmm. And as the leader, you have to make that decision. But sometimes, you know, in our lives, we're not always the leader. Sometimes we're on the team, sometimes we're the leader of the team, and we have to be able to do both, I think.
What's the toughest decision that you've had to make as a leader?
Well, I think the toughest decisions are always when you have to reduce staff and you have to eliminate people and their job function, because, you know, you care so much about the people that are under your supervision. And so I think, you know, when we go through things like we had to in the pandemic, or occasionally we have to right size organizations because the economy changes or the business levels change, those are always the toughest things, I think, for all of us. And we all struggle with them as we have to go through that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's understandable. So we're wrapping up our conversation, but I want to ask you this question, because you're the co-chair of Meetings Mean Business. So it's safe to say that you've got a pretty solid pulse on the current state of the industry. What are your predictions for this year, for 2022? What do you think is going to change or not in the industry?
Well, you know, I think, and we touched on this a little bit, I think that people's desire and need to meet, I think, is really critical. And so I think what we're going to find as we go forward is that the meetings that people have are going to be more thoughtful. They're going to be more intentional. We're going to understand who attends and what the content is better than we ever did before. And I think we're going to find ourselves in a much more stable place. The thing that I would encourage us all to do, and I've been encouraging this for some time, is to really just be involved in our industry, right? So, you know, I think we all benefit from a healthy meetings and events industry. We still struggle with making sure that people understand who we are and what we do. And I think it's incumbent upon every one of us, all of your audience, myself, you, and anybody that we know, to make sure that we're constantly talking about what we do, what we, you know, how we impact society and what the benefit is. Because if you think about this notion that nothing good ever happened till someone first had a meeting, and when we meet, we change the world, you know, you realize what we bring to society. And this is before all of the employment and the tax and the front desk agents and the maids and the busboys and the taxi drivers, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, we bring good things to society. We bring employment and benefits to society on that front. And I think people need to understand who we are and how we do that, because it's critical that that we communicate that to people.
So I'll ask you one final question, Mike. If you could make any kind of impact or leave some kind of legacy behind after your career is over, what would that look like for you?
Well, I think the best thing that could, you know, be left behind me in my role at Caesars Entertainment probably has two parts. So one would be a healthy, thriving business that continues to grow beyond my wildest dreams well after I depart. And then the second, which is part and parcel to that, are that the people that have been around, you know, been around our business and that I've had the chance to interact with are better off for it and go on to do whatever amazing things that they kind of had on their agenda. And so, you know, if the people that were around can grow and learn and move forward and achieve what they want to achieve, and the business after I'm gone is better and healthier than when I was there, I think those two things would make me really proud.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for sharing all of your insight and your stories and your knowledge with us today. And I want to thank everyone in the audience for listening. Share what you learned from this episode with me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram by following at Meetings Today and me at Courtney on Stage. And be sure to never miss an episode by subscribing to Dare to Interrupt on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and more. Stay enthusiastic, be bold, and keep daring to interrupt, my friends. Until next time.